It's a great day for a podcast. Once again, here he is, John Oakley.
Bad boys, what you want, what you want, what you gonna do? When shall the John Brown come for you? Tell me, what you wanna do, what you gonna do? What you gonna do? What you gonna do when they come for you?
You're listening to The John Oakley Show.
Toronto's news, today's talk.
640 Toronto.
Hey, it is a great afternoon for talk radio. Bad Boys. Who doesn't know that? The theme song of Cops, the show that airs indefinitely on the Fox network. It's in syndication, I'm sure, around the world. More than 1,000 episodes filmed in over 140 U.S. cities as well as international locations. And it more or less made its debut on this date, or a day earlier, back in 1989. Let's find out all about it. It's a fascinating case study. Andy Thomas is a producer of the first season of Cops, and he's joined us here on The Oakley Show in Toronto. Hey, Andy, good to have you with us. Good afternoon.
Hey, great to meet you, John. Thank you so much for remembering the date. I didn't.
All right, well, we do it as a frame of reference or a point of reference because it has some kind of cultural or historical value. An interesting show that's still on in repeats. I see it as a strip program now on Fox.
Yeah, it is the show that will never die. It's the creature from the id that people just go back to again and again. Now, I was there producing the pilot and the first two seasons in the Soviet Union special, and then I went off to lesser things. And the show continues to go on. It's amazing how it has resonated with audiences.
Why is that? What is the attraction? Why do you think it has continued to resonate to this date? You know, we're talking, 34 years now, 35 years?
Yeah. Well, I think there's a number of reasons, because the audience for it is very broad. Earlier in the show, you were talking about affluenza. And, the teen killing a guy with an expensive car. And you know, you can anticipate that there's going to be years and years of legal proceedings. And for civilians like us out there, those years of legal proceedings just aren't emotionally satisfying. And sometimes you just want to see justice delivered, or at least, see law enforcement go in and keep us safer, and I think that's why a lot of people watched it. It's also nice to know, and it's good for advertisers to have programming that shows a solution or coming to terms with the situation. You know, it's just a satisfying thing. I know for myself. Here in Los Angeles, we get high speed car chases every single day, sometimes several times a day, and they break in the programming and all that to see it. And it's fascinating to watch it. It's compelling because it's a dangerous situation, but there's also a certain amount of empathy when you see this interplay of people trying to escape. We can always place ourselves into the characters that we're seeing on the news, on Cops, that sort of thing.
But you're saying, wait a minute, so in other words, is it like vicarious voyeurism here? We just want to see other people, really in the throes of danger, or in some cases, the police about to apprehend them. It's almost like, hunting a wild animal.
It is on the basis sort of thing. I mean, I try to elevate it for myself to think that there's maybe some deeper meaning into why we're looking at these things. But you take a show like Cops, you don't really know the characters. There's no backstory. Sometimes you never see the crime that took place. Sometimes you do, but it's almost secondary. It's the kind of thing where it shows the human condition and how we navigate moments of crisis. And that's something I think everyone can go into. It's not, to me, it's not even about law breaking or the law. It's more about the essence of conflict. And we have these conflicts all our lives. A lot of times it's really minor, you know, but here at least we can see that justice in process.
Some kind of a resolution, I see it. Andy Thomas with us, producer of the first season of Cops that started on this date or thereabouts, 1989. How'd the concept come about originally anyway?
Well, originally, you know, the concept has to come from several sources. As far as the network was concerned, I think you mentioned that there was a writer's strike going on at that time. But more importantly, on Saturday night, they had a big hit on Fox with America's Most Wanted. And because of the strike, they wanted to expand it to an hour instead of a half hour. And when they did that, it didn't work. People loved the first half hour, but they wouldn't stick around for the second. So they needed a companion piece. So they sent the word out through agents and everyone. Does anybody have something that they could do that would be a nice pairing with America's Most Wanted? That's from the network point of view. As the reason they came to us is because myself and my partners had been producing five or six primetime Geraldo specials where, you know how Geraldo likes to get into the action. And a lot of times we would do live busts on the, you know, on the program, or we'd be chasing criminals or whatever. And it kind of got in our blood. You know, it's like when you're with somebody like a cop for a long period of time, you start thinking like that. Just the same would be true if we had been focusing on doctors in the operating room. We'd start thinking like doctors. But we thought that we could combine all of the action and integrate it with some background on the characters of the law officers who were involved with it.
Yeah, it got pretty personal at some points. It got personal where you even inserted yourself into, say, some marital woes, and that sort of personalized or humanized some of the police officers and, you know, their spouses, which kind of was an interesting dimension to the program. I'm kind of curious, though, how you approached police departments to gain access. How do you get clearance to tape?
Well, initially, when I was doing it, we were just focusing on sheriff's departments and not police departments, because sheriffs, it's an elected position. And as far as they're concerned, any publicity is good publicity. And they like seeing themselves in action on television because it convinces people to vote for them as if, you know, they are actively out there protecting the citizens. They are. But I mean, that's their political background. They want to see us there. They also realize that, you know, there's good cops and bad cops. But when you're doing a show like this, you're focusing on the good cops. And they realize that if you showed unprofessional behavior, that there'd never be another sheriff's department or police department that would ever let you in the door. So, you know, do take the show Cops with a grain of salt. Hmm. You know, there's editorial decisions about what's being shown. And we're not there to castigate policemen. We're not there to analyze what they do right and wrong. We're there for that visceral experience that you can join in with. It's always been a personal thing for me that I believe that before you get a high school diploma, the school system should require you to spend one night on a ride along with a cop, spend one night in the ER at a hospital, a number of these real life situations, so that you can finally translate what you've learned for 12 years into the practical reality of living a life in a society. And that might relate back to what you were saying about the teen. When people grow up with no sense of consequences, whether it's because they're naive or they're young or just, you know, mentally not there, that's where we have problems. We're a society. We have to have a consensus. And that doesn't mean we have to agree on everything, but we have to agree with the base of of treating each other kindly and with respect. And I think you learn that way. I mean, what do you learn from television? Does television actually influence anybody? I think television does, but not in the way that, we often refer to it.
On the line with us right now, we're talking about Cops, the show that you've all come to know. Really, it seems like it's almost a requirement that if they're busting somebody, they got to have their shirt off. So,
yep.
Yeah, I believe that is catnip to the viewer. Buddy's got no shirt. He's not a good person. Andy Thomas is a producer of the first season of Cops, 35 years and counting. So, Andy, I'm kind of interested that you were talking about, you know, gaining access to sheriff's departments, then police departments, and ultimately you went into the Soviet Union, the former Soviet Union, the UK and all that. Who had the final editorial control? Did the police ever give it to you entirely, no questions asked?
No, they trusted us, and we respected that trust. So they didn't. There were only two people who approved the show before it went on to air, and that was the an executive at Fox. Who every executive shepherds certain programs. He had to approve it, and then it went straight to Barry Diller. Mm. And so between those two, that was it. There was no other editorial control. But we know the guidelines, just mm-hmm. as you do as well. I mean, when you're in a media situation, you know what's approved, what's not, you know, what makes sense.
I just thought, if you know the police had been, say, cast in a negative light, but you were saying you made great, you took measures to make sure that didn't happen. Although there have been critics who have pointed out they thought maybe the show's exploitive in the sense of it tended to show vulnerable people or marginalized people for the most part being, you know, caught and charged by the police. What do you say to that criticism?
Well, exploitation's in the eye of the beholder. The people who actually were busted that you saw, they agreed and approved for us to tell that story and to show that footage. They all signed releases.
Really?
The only people who don't sign releases are blurred. And that's usually because it's a secondary character or we're busy or whatever. But speaking of shirtless people, that came into play. We had a thing in Florida where we were busting this man who was sexually abusing his 10-year-old daughter. And she didn't want him to go to jail because many times the victims bond with their the people who are victimizing
him.
It was a really intense emotional thing that we shot. And when the that team, we had four teams working, came back to our office, they realized they never got the release from the main suspect. And with that, you couldn't do the show. So they're going to say, we got to throw that footage out. I said, no, it was just too good. So I went to the man's house about midnight, and he met me at the door, shirtless, holding a machete, and invited me in. And we sat down at his kitchen table, and he put the machete between us, to kind of say, don't do the wrong thing here. But I was able to convince him, and I meant this in a sincere way, that it's better that the whole story get told, that he sign a release, that we can show this. How else is he going to defend himself or tell his side of the story if we have to bury all the evidence that shows this emotional interplay between him and his daughter? Now, I can think two things at the same time. I also thought he was a bit of a scumbag, but... But this other time, he needed to be able to have an opportunity to voice and explain his side of the story. But these cops, what I learned on this show is that there are all kinds of different cops. I mean, that may seem obvious, but where does it come from? If I asked you, John, what would it be like to be a dentist, you could probably give me a pretty good description. But because we've always seen doctors and policemen and lawyers on TV dramas, and people learn how to behave in their jobs, not how to do the job, but how to behave in the character of a doctor or a cop or whatever by watching television. So when we were out filming policemen, the personalities were based on their age, because that age said what how old they were when they were watching television shows that had cops in them. So they had cops that seemed to be like they're right out of Highway Patrol, a little sloppy, you know, a little gregarious. Then you had the cops who grew up watching Dragnet, who, you know, were a little more officious and, you know, down the line. And then the cops in Adam 12, who were like people who loved their community but got caught in the middle of social conflicts.
Really? There was that much of a tie-in? They were influenced to that extent?
Absolutely.
Wow.
In fact, even... and you hear a lot of times, it wasn't shown in this series, about bad cops. And people say, oh, yeah, they'll plant evidence. Or they'll plant a gun on me. They'll hide drugs or whatever. These are the cops who grew up watching Miami Vice, where the ethos of the show was sometimes you have to be a crook to catch a crook.
Interesting.
And so...
Let me just end by asking about Bad Boys as the theme. And we played it on the way in. Who was responsible for figuring that that would be appropriate because it lives on in infamy?
Boy, I stumbled in that one. when shooting the pilot, I was on the team that handled homicides. And homicides out of Fort Lauderdale, if it wasn't a crime of passion, you know, or a bar fight or something, if it was an intentional homicide, they would tend to dump the bodies out in the Everglades. The advantage is it's so distant that they're difficult to find. And then also a dead body in the water tends to be slowly devoured by the reptilian creatures that live in that water. So there go the fingerprints and certain facial features and things like that. And you get the call at about 2 or 3 in the morning from the police department saying, hey, we just found a body. Maybe you want to come out here as we get it out of the swamp. And so we get in our cars and we go fill up the gas tank because you don't know how far you're going to go. It's some all-night gas place. And there was this guy with a folding card table with about 300 cassette tapes that were recorded by various garage bands all over South Florida. And you could buy 10 of them for 10 bucks. So we would get them and we'd stick them in to listen as we were going to pick up dead bodies. And... most of them were just pretty bad. But then this song came on and it really hit me. So when I came back to LA to edit the show, not as a joke, but kind of a sense of whimsy, I said, I'm gonna use this Bad Boys song because it's just so hip. And thinking, they're never going to approve this. And as you know, sometimes when you make a program that has to be approved by people, you put in something outlandish that they can say, take that out. You give them something to cross out. And I thought this was going to be it. I'll use the Bad Boys thing, and they will never approve it. Unfortunately, or fortunately, they did. but we didn't know where the band was. So we had to send an associate producer back to Fort Lauderdale, to the neighborhood where we bought this tape in the middle of the night, and slowly cruising up and down streets, listening for garage bands until he finally found them actually performing, you know, at a practice in their garage, and said, hey, we'd like to use this as a theme song for a television show. What do you want for it? And the band had a little band meeting and came back and said, we'd like to have an ounce of pot. So that's how we bought the song.
Well, there you are. All right. Listen, I've got to let you go on that note, but it's a great finish as it lives on. Again, 35 years and counting with Cops. Andy Thomas, producer of the first season. I really appreciate all of the insights. Thanks for your time, Andy.
Thanks so much, John. It's a pleasure.
All right.
Listen to the John Oakley Show live each weekday afternoon from 3 until 6. If you live in the Toronto area, just turn that AM dial to 640 and listen anywhere on earth 24 hours a day by going to 640toronto.com. Follow on Twitter at @AM640Oakley. You've been listening to A Curious Cast. New podcasts and shows are debuting all the time. So check back often to see what's new in the Curious Cast library.
Hi, it's Shauna, and I might be a bad parent because my kids think french fries are vegetables.
Hey, it's Ryan, and I might be a bad parent because I went out for wings when my wife was in the hospital after giving birth.
Johnny here. I might be a bad parent because in my house, the tooth fairy gives pocket change.
But we're not alone. Len emailed us and said his six-year-old daughter's Tarzan moment going from love seat to lazy boy by curtains made him more proud than any dance recital.
And Andy left his two-year-old at the rink. All right, guys, I'm sure we're not alone, like Andy's kid.
For stories and confessions like this, make sure you check out our podcast.
It's called Bad Parents, and it's available wherever you get your podcasts.
I left a glove at the rink.